Hi, welcome to another inspirational message recorded live at Oceans Unite Christian Center.
Amen. So Pastor Alex asked me to take the service this morning. I believe I know everybody here this morning, but if you don't know who I am, my name is Mike. I'm one of the youth leaders here at the church, and he's given me a wonderful opportunity to come and minister to you guys this morning. It is a tremendous honor, and I don't take this lightly. So I just ask it this morning, if you could possibly just receive me, not as a replacement, but rather as an extension of him as I am training underneath his supervision. Amen? Amen. So before I even get started, I just want to, you know, kind of recap a little bit. Did you guys enjoy the Holy Spirit Fire Conference? Come on. Did y'all enjoy it? We can do a little better than that. God showed up in this place. Day after day after day after day, and it was amazing. Sunday night, he dealt with brokenness in the heart, and there were many hearts that got mended, that got healed supernaturally. Monday night, there were many that came in here with fear, with nightmares, with depression, and it had to go because of the name of Jesus Christ. Amen. Tuesday night, there were many that came in here sick and afflicted with pains all over their body, and we got to witness God supernaturally healing them in front of our own very eyes that night. And then Wednesday night, we all got a fresh baptism of fire. We got a fresh double portion of his flame. Is that okay? And then, not to make anybody jealous, but the youth got another double portion on Friday night. I'd be a little jealous. It was awesome. Pastor Allen brought it. It was such a great honor to have him here. And I'm super excited to see what God's going to do with that relationship and see where it goes further. Amen. But it was good. Again, and again, and again, and again, and he will continue to pour it out again and again because he is good and faithful. Amen. And I believe that, and I stand with the word that Pastor Alex gave, that we're stepping into a season of supernatural blessing, a season of supernatural miracles, a season that we're going to see God move in this city through your guys' hands in such a way that we can't even fathom, that even the very enemy that stands around us is going to look at you guys and say, surely God's hand is upon them because of the supernatural power of God that's being ministered through you to a dying world. Amen? Look, I'm excited about it. Okay, so this morning, I want to take us to a portion of scripture in 1 Corinthians, and that's where I'm going to start this morning. Now, when I first got saved, a few weeks or a month or so after I got saved, you know, Pastor Alex gave me, it was actually this Bible, believe it or not. It goes with me everywhere. It's starting to look a little bit beaten and bruised. Praise Jesus, I do open it every once in a while. Okay. Anyways, reading in that Bible, I come across this portion of scripture, and it didn't make any sense to me. As a young believer, as brand new in my walk, I didn't understand what this meant, and it didn't make sense to me. So I'm going to read this scripture. It says, God has chosen the foolish things of the world to put to shame the wise. Okay. And God has chosen the weak things of the world to put to shame the things which are mighty. Man, you got to understand, like I'm 2-3 weeks into this, and like this is making no sense to me. Right? Okay. And the things, and the base things of the world, and the things which are despised, God has chosen. And the things which are not, to bring to nothing the things that are, that no flesh should glory in his presence. Now, as that is my base scripture, this morning I'm going to be talking about weaknesses and how God can use a weakness. And I'm going to give a little personal testimony. And please understand, when I'm speaking this morning, I'm not doing this. I don't want anybody to come up to me and tell me that I did a great job, because I personally don't think I did anything, because it was all him through me anyways. But it is my testimony and it is truth, because this is exactly what I did and this is exactly how I walked it out. Amen. And I believe there's power in testimony. When I first prepared this message, God had me prepared this message for me because I needed to hear it. Amen. But let me start with this. Weakness is not a sin. Is there any? I don't think there's any kids in here this morning, not too, okay. Weakness is not a sin, okay? I have a weakness for pornography. That's not a weakness. Lust is my weakness. No, that's a sin, okay? All these different things. Sin is not a weakness. A character flaw is not a weakness. Character flaws can be overcome, and we should be. I'm constantly dealing with my character. There's constantly things inside of me, and it will be like that until I die, because none of us are Jesus. And we've all got little character flaws. If you don't think you have a character flaw, how many of us in here get road rage from time to time? Okay, that's a lot of hands, okay? God's still dealing with me in that character flaw, because when the old, you know, drives past me and gives me the hand, you know what I mean? I just want to put my foot down on it and get up behind her, you know, ride that tail. How are you going to pass me like that? Okay, it's a character flaw. Doesn't mean I'm evil. It doesn't mean, you know, I have to go home and repent later for the thoughts that went through my mind and the things that I wanted to say that I didn't. And, you know, sometimes by the grace of God, I can share a little bit of love by just waving and smiling, but on the inside, I'm raging. Okay, it's a character flaw. But God's dealing with me with that. And he's dealt with me with a lot of things. I had a poverty mindset for a long time. And let me tell you something, that was a character flaw. Nobody could give me anything. I didn't want it. Don't give me nothing. I can do it on my own. Don't feel bad for me. I can do it on my own. That was a character flaw that I had to deal with. Took a little while. Pastor Alex finally looked at me in the eyes. He said, listen, you have a spirit of poverty all over you. You need to learn how to receive, because you're stealing that person's blessing. Weakness is not sin. Weakness is not a character flaw. Weakness is a limitation that cannot be changed that you were given when you were born. Anybody know Benny Hinn? Benny Hinn had a severe stutter. I'd read a book of his, and he started the book off with, he had a stutter. And he went to a Catherine Kuhlman conference, and the presence of God touched him, and he got changed. And that stutter ended up turning into one of his greatest ministries. As we know, Benny Hinn operates in major power today, and he no longer has that stutter. Is that okay? Okay, let's try this route. There's some of us sitting in here today that have a speech impediment and are afraid to say anything in front of anybody because they don't want people to look at them and think they look dumb. I've got some young girls in my youth home cell that I know can sing. I've heard it from their family. You ought to hear them sing in the shower. Hey, they just praise the roof off the place. That shower's on and they go for it because they don't think anybody's listening. But you ask them to stand in front of a group of people and sing and they... There's some people that desperately want God to use them, that desperately want to go into the streets and lay hands on the sick out there in the dying world. And they want to go do it, but they come up and they get with John to go do the share the love evangelism. And when they step out at Friday Fest to go do it, somebody steps in front of them and all of a sudden they break down and they can't do it because what if I look dumb? There's certain people that have a gift for it. I got a young man in my youth group that can go anywhere at any point in time and can share the gospel to anybody and can stand in the face of persecution and it doesn't bother him a bit. One of my weaknesses is, and I go with John, I go to the Share the Love evangelism because I believe God can use my weakness, but going out and doing that out in the streets, it scares the living daylights out of me, but I believe God can use a weakness. And fear is from the devil, it's not from God. So I've got to start taking those fears and taking that issue that I've gotten, converting it over so that God can use that fear and he can use that power to manifest his glory, to give him all the praise and give him all the honor. We all have a weakness, one way or another. Now, as I'm talking, there's many of you that are getting what I'm saying. I can see it. I've got a weakness. But some of you don't. So we'll go a little step further. What was it when you were a child that you desperately wanted to hide from everybody else? That wasn't a sin. What was it that you got made fun of all the time in middle school and in high school, college? What was it that you desperately didn't want the world to see because you were afraid of being mocked, persecuted, made fun of? What was it? Because the very thing that you have been trying to hide your whole life so the world can't see it is probably one of your weaknesses. We so often think that God can't use a weakness. So here we go. Testimony number one. I have a weakness. And again, I say this because it's my life and this is my testimony and I have to share it. But public speaking is my biggest fear. Standing in front of a group of people and speaking in front of them is my biggest fear. And it goes all the way back to fifth grade. Had an English teacher. And the final assignment in fifth grade was to write a paper. A 2-3-2. Intro, body, conclusion. 2-3-2. Two paragraphs. 2-2. Okay, all right. It was like it didn't even make a full page. It was a tiny little thing. But I wrote it, and I was so proud of it. Just little eraser marks and pencil scratches all over the place. My little fifth grade handwriting. And I handed it to my mother, and she read it. And she said, "Man, this is good." I said, "No, Mama. I'm proud of it." She said, "Great. So what do you do now?" I said, "Now I got to tell the people in my class what I wrote." And there was such a fear that came over me and gripped me. And I stood in front of that fifth grade class, 13, 14 of them in there, and I got that paper in my hands. Anybody relate to this? I began to shake so bad, that page was vibrating so hard in my hands, I couldn't even read the words on the page. I had sweat dripping off my forehead, down my nose, dripping off my chin. I had that look on my face of just sheer, right? You got the people in the congregation, or not in the congregation, in the classroom, and they're looking at me like, "You have lost your mind." And then that fear gets worse and it begins to grip and my chest tightens up. I can't breathe. I can't think. Until the point where I crumble the thing up in a ball, I throw it on the ground and I run out of the classroom and I hide in the bathroom for 3 hours crying and vomiting my guts out because I can't do this. Wasn't until the teacher came after the class had ended to come find me, found me in the bathroom and said, "Listen, it's going to be okay. I have to fail you, but it's going to be okay." It's tough, you know, fifth grade, man. Got to do what you got to do. It's okay, I'll take a zero teach. I ain't getting up there. Don't put me in front of people. You know, and everybody always has this funny thing. Just picture everybody in their underwear. It'll make it all better. That's a lie. No, it doesn't work. If anything, it just makes it more awkward. I promise you, I'm not thinking of any of you in your underwear right now. I can assure you, okay? But you know what I'm talking about. That's what everybody says, and it doesn't work. Because when you've got a predisposition of fear of that specific thing, there's nothing in the world. Well, there is. We'll get to that in just a minute. But in this natural world, there's no talking you through it. There's no, you know, the first time it's a little tough, but it gets better. Yeah, that's true for people that are uncomfortable with it, but not people who have a doubting fear of it. There's a difference because I know there's people that like are afraid to public speak, but after they do it a couple of times, all of a sudden they get real good at it. That's like a character flaw that they're building. It wasn't like that for me. Because all the way through high school, if there was a speech involved in any class, I didn't take it. I didn't want nothing to do with being the center of attention for anything. Come to a birthday and they bring the little cake and they clap hands and happy, happy birthday. I crawl under the table because too many people are looking at me. You guys know what I'm talking about. I know there's people in here today that go to the restaurant and their friends, you know, they grab a hold of the waiter. "Hey, just so you know, it's his birthday. Bring him a cake and sing and embarrass the crap out of him." I didn't want people looking at me. "Josh, when it's his birthday, we're going to make sure the waiter brings him a cake." We all have different character flaws, but we all have different weaknesses. There's people sitting here today that have got the most anointed voice, that when they begin to sing, the presence of God will come in this place and fill this very room in such a way that the glory will break out and miracles and healings will begin to manifest. But you're too afraid to stand up here because you are afraid of being persecuted because that's a weakness. This is a generation, this is a body that is called to bring the fire and the love of God back to Vero Beach. There's some Benny Hinn sitting here. There's some Reinhard Bonnke sitting here. There's some Catherine Kuhlman sitting in here, but you're too afraid to step out. It's time we take that weakness and let God operate through that weakness to bring Him all the glory. Why would He use my weakness? It doesn't make any sense. Why wouldn't He just use my strength? Why wouldn't He just use my talent? Okay, so let's go down that road for just a minute. In Matthew, I believe it's 25. Don't hold me to that. There's a story about the parable about the talents. And the master gives his servants 5 talents, 2 talents, and 1 talent, and he goes away. And in that period that he's away, the different servants did different things with the talents that they were given. The one who was given 5 talents goes out and invests those talents somewhere else. The one who was given 2 talents went and invested those talents. They received an increase. They received an overflow. The one who had 5 now has 10. The one who had 2 now has 4. But then there was the one that was given 1 talent. And he was afraid. He was afraid. Afraid to step out. Afraid to go evangelize on the streets. Afraid to take a word of knowledge that God has given you. Afraid to step up and to do it. Afraid to begin to sing in that home cell. Afraid to take a leap of faith and become a cell leader. Afraid to reach out and pray for that person that's sick because you don't want to look silly. He was afraid, and he took that talent that God gave him and he hid it in the ground. And the master came back. And the one with 5 said, "Master, I have 5. You give me 5. And I did an increase. I used those talents to create more. Now I have 10. He said, "Good and faithful servant." The one who had 2 did the same thing. "Good and faithful servant." The one who had 1 got rebuked. What are you going to do with that talent? Because God has given each and every one of us a talent. I'm not against talents. I'm not against strengths. Because God can use them, but you better start using them or else you're going to lose them. I told this story to the congregation at first service. My lovely wife over here can sing. Amen. And I don't say this because, listen, we're saved now. Praise Jesus. Hallelujah. But there was a time in our lives where we weren't saved and, you know, we went places we shouldn't go. So she developed her talent in a bar singing karaoke. That's where she realized that she could sing. Little did she know at that time, singing in the old honky tonks and singing about pickup trucks and whatever else rednecks do. She didn't realize at that point in time that that gift, that talent that was given to her wasn't to go out into the world and sing about worldly nonsense. It was to bring Jesus Christ the praise, the honor, and the glory. Because that was a gift that was given, that was developed before she was even saved. See, some of us have a talent. What are you going to do with that talent? Because at one point she had to recognize that's a talent and she has to go for it. There's a lot of you that are sitting in here that have talents. What are you going to do with them? We've got a lot of stuff going on Facebook. We've got a lot of videos that need editing, pictures that need editing, photography. You'd be amazed at how many people come to this church because of Facebook. I get so, and it amazes me. I get people all the time come to me and tell me, you know, I'm coming here because, you know, I saw an ad on Facebook and it's looked awesome. Amen. If God can use a donkey, He can use Facebook. There's some of you that can do editing, that can do that kind of thing, but you're afraid to step out. Okay, I've got to get moving. I've only got a few minutes left and I haven't even got to the message. Okay, Isaiah 55 says, "My ways are not your ways, and my thoughts are higher than yours." We, at some point in our lives, we have got to realize that we don't have all the answers. And that we shouldn't be surprised when God steps out and uses somebody in such a way that wouldn't make any sense to us, because He knows the beginning from the end. And you may think you have the answers, but the only one who does is Him. Amen? We can't outsmart God. We can't. And He would much rather show His glory and His power through your weakness than the opportunity for pride to come in because of my talent. Okay? 1 Corinthians 1:27 through 29. Again, now this scripture is starting to make a little more sense. God has chosen the foolish things of the world to put to shame the wise. And God has chosen the weak things of the world to put to shame those things which are mighty. And the base of the things of the world and the things which are despised, God has chosen. And the things which are not, to bring to nothing the things that are, that no flesh should glory in his presence. Now all of a sudden it's making a little bit of sense. He wants to use my weakness to manifest his glory and his power so that he receives the fullness of the glory, the fullness of the praise, because it's only him through me. Amen. The scripture is no accident. We have to be reliant on him. You know, when we do anything, it makes no difference what it is. If whatever we do in this life, we do it off of a prior experience when we do something. Okay, I got a few people who are getting it already. Let me make some examples. Okay, playing guitar. I played these four chords and I strummed it this specific way and I even hummed at this bar and it sounded really beautiful. Now in order to recreate that sound, in order to make it sound beautiful again, I'll do what I did before because it was beautiful then, it can be beautiful now. Okay, the people don't get the musical one. Let's go cooking, okay? I got two racks of baby back ribs, and I'm going to throw them on the grill at 275 degrees, and I'm going to smoke them low and slow for 2 hours and 15 minutes. I'm going to pull these ribs off the grill. I'm going to wrap them in foil with apple juice and butter and lots of butter and smother them with seasonings. I'm going to put the ribs back on the grill at 375 degrees for 37 minutes and 15 seconds. I'm going to pull them off, sear them at 800 degrees, smother them with barbecue sauce till it's all glazed and crispy and wonderful. And then I'm going to cut them up and eat them because they're the best ribs I've ever had in my life. Now, see, the youth are getting excited. They like ribs. But now I got family coming over 3 weeks later and I want to cook those ribs again and I want to make them just as good as I did before. What am I going to do? I'm going to cook them the same way because they were good then. They can be good now. Singing. I was in the shower. Not me. I can't sing. It's just an example. I'm in the shower and I'm busy worshiping God and the presence of God comes in that shower and wrecks me and I just begin to weep and I have an ugly cry and there's snot dribbling down my nose and I'm on the bottom of the shower floor crying, worshiping God. Listen, you want to recreate it? You did it before, do it again. But see, that's the interesting thing about a weakness, isn't it? Because if it's a weakness, it was never a success in the past. So you can't go off of prior experiences because it didn't work then. I'm going to get up here and I'm going to preach a message. If I go off my prior experience in fifth grade, I'd be in that bathroom crying on the floor right now because the fear that came over me. So you can't go off prior experiences with a weakness. You can only go off the presence of the living God because he's the one doing it through you to begin with. And it gives him the glory. It gives him the praise. It gives him all the honor because it's him, not me. Look, it's never about me. It's never about Cheyenne, my beautiful wife. It's not about Pastor Alex. It's all about him. We're just vessels to operate through. Are you guys vessels? You are all vessels. What are you going to do? What are you going to let him use you with? Thank you. See, the whole attitude changes from I can do it because I did it again. I can cook those ribs because I did it before. To listen, I didn't do so well last time, so God, you got to show up. Right? Listen, there's no time for religious type prayers when you operate out of a weakness. You can't sit there and, oh, Heavenly Father, please, dear Lord Jesus, just come and help me. Come with your glory. You can't do that. Let me tell you something. When you operate out of a weakness, Jesus, help me, Lord. Holy Spirit, come. You don't talk to him like he's way the heck over there. You don't talk to him like he's just some story in a book. You talk to him like he's right in front of you, like Moses did, panim to panim, face to face, glory to glory. You speak to the Holy Spirit like he's your best friend. That's what he wanted you to do to begin with anyways. He doesn't want us to come to... Listen, I'm guilty of the religious prayers. Ask the youth. I try to recreate my best Benny Hinn voice all the time.
But what comes when the power comes the best, the most, is when we get intimate with Him and we speak to Him like He's right there in front of us, because He is, and He always is there. He's always there with His arms wide open, waiting. Are you gonna call on me? Are you gonna talk to me like I'm right there? Are you gonna talk to me like I'm in Australia? Operating like this doesn't allow for any pride or self-glory. How can it? Because it's not you anyways, it's Him through you. Now, I've got to wrap this up. I don't know where the time went. It went a lot slower in first service, but amen. Okay, now it's all great knowing that, you know, you need to step out in boldness in your weakness. But it's a whole lot different when you're on the other side of the stick. Okay. It's real easy for me to stand up here today and tell you, you know, listen, you need to step out regardless of whatever's going on in your life. You just need to go do. But when you're that person that was in the fifth grade that, you know, couldn't stand in front of the class, it's a little bit tough to go do when you remember the fear from before. I know, because I've been there. And I don't have time. I've got a really awesome testimony, but I don't have time today. About the first time Pastor Alex asked me to minister a word in our youth group back at the other church that we were at. And I was so excited, but I've never wanted to vomit so hard in my life. And I remember driving to the church. I wasn't even driving. I had my wife drive because I was in such a state. Like, there was no way I would be like a danger to society if I was behind the wheel at that point in time. And the whole time we were driving from Okeechobee to downtown Stuart, I was praying like Jesus was sitting right there behind the wheel of that drive, that vehicle. And I was praying to Him that He had to show up, because the last time I spoke was in fifth grade, and it was a total flop. And it wasn't that great of a message. The word that I had, you know, I was very young. The word that I had was okay, it was good. But, you know, God showed up because of that. He wanted to use that weakness. Amen? It's a very short and condensed version. Anyways. So, we have a weakness. How do we begin to operate in that weakness? Number one is we have to first and foremost admit that we do have a weakness. I can't be the only one. A lot of us have weaknesses. You may be perfect, but I am not. I had to admit one day that I had a weakness. You know, we got to stop acting like we're perfect. We're not. None of us are. We all have a flaw somewhere. We all have a weakness somewhere. The sooner that we realize that we have that weakness somewhere and begin to push forward, bring that thing to light, the devil can't hold you back in it anymore. Amen. That fear can't grip you anymore because you've got it out there. Devil, I know speaking publicly was my biggest fear, but you can't hold me in it no more. Admit that you have one and move forward. And then here's the next part of that, which is very difficult. It's a very large pill to swallow, is not only do we have to admit that we have a weakness, we then have to be grateful for that weakness. Because God's going to use that weakness to manifest His glory through your life. So 2 Corinthians, and again, I apologize in the first service. This is in the Amplified. Did they get it? Oh, yay, they got it in the Amplified. Never mind, I'm not going to apologize. They got it. Amen. 2 Corinthians 12, 9 through 10. He has said to me, my grace is sufficient for you. My loving kindness and my mercy are more than enough. And check this out, always available regardless of the situation that you're going through. For my power is being perfected and completed and shows itself more effectively in your weakness. Can He use your talents? Yes. Can He use your strengths? Yes. But His power and His glory is shown more effective in your weaknesses, because it's all Him and not us. So that the power of Christ may completely enfold me and may dwell in me. So I am well pleased with my weaknesses, with my insults, with distresses, with persecutions, with difficulties for the sake of Christ. For when I am weak in human strength, then I am strong, truly able, truly powerful, truly drawing from God's strength. See, what Paul's trying to get across here is stop hiding behind that mask. Stop trying to stifle those things. We are who we are. I can only be Mike But when God shows up in a weakness, it'll change your whole life. There's a deeper expression for each and every one of us in this house. This is an equipping house. Pastor Alex is busy raising up and equipping each and every one of us to go out into this world and take this vision that God has sent us here with and to take this city. But we've got to go and get every expression. We got to take everything that we can. We can't just use our strengths, but we've also got to use our weaknesses, and we've got to be as effective as we can for the kingdom of God, because there's a lot of people here that don't know Jesus. There's a lot of people here that know about this book, but they don't know that he's alive today. There's a lot of people in this city that have even heard about Jesus, but have never seen him manifest today. And God's not just going to use Pastor Alex. He's not going to use just me. He's not going to use just my wife. He's going to use each and every one of you, but we've got to catch the revelation of it and go. We've got to catch a revelation of it and do. Amen. Okay. So a couple benefits of operating out of a weakness. Number one is it makes you totally 100% completely reliant on the presence of God. If you operate in your weakness, you have to use the presence of God, because otherwise, if you do it, it's going to be a flop. I've given you example after example after example, so I'm not going to go much too into that, but it keeps you reliant on him. Number two is it keeps your pride at bay. Pride is the bait of Satan. I have done nothing. My wife has done nothing. It's all him through us as a vessel. And we have to stay humble like that, because it's not about us. It never was. The problem with pride is pride oftentimes begins to breed an independent spirit. It's a little quiet in here. I'm going to give an example. If my lovely wife all of a sudden begins to think, I'm so anointed. Oh, I'm the most anointed worshiper that this Vero Beach has ever seen. When I play these keys, the presence of God comes in this place. I'm too anointed for this place. I'm too anointed for this band. This band isn't going where I need to go. All of a sudden, that independent spirit comes in that place. That Luciferian spirit. I'm bigger than God himself. It's so dangerous. And then all of a sudden, my beautiful poor wife, she'll separate herself from the body and go off and do her own thing. And she separates herself from the body. And that is so dangerous, because there's power in submission. There's power in being in authority. It's not me anyways. It's not her anyways. It's God through us. And it's God through you. But when you operate in a weakness instead of a talent, it's hard to get prideful about it, because you know what would really happen if you did it in your own strength. So you naturally just give the praise and the glory back to him. Amen? Number three is it makes you value those who are around you. Listen, we need each other. There's gifts that are in Pastor Alex that I don't have. Yes, there's going to be things that I'm very similar to him as, because I'm under him and I'm busy training underneath him. So I catch a lot of the anointing that he carries. But there's stuff that he can do that I won't be able to do. There's stuff that Miss Wendy will be able to do that I can't do. There's going to be people that my wife can touch that I could never touch. We're different. And God's going to use each and every one of us in our own specific ways, because there's a lot of people out there and there's not one person that can reach everybody. 1 Corinthians 12:15 through 20 says, suppose the foot says, I am not a hand, so I don't belong to the body. But saying this, it cannot stop being part of the body. And suppose the ear says, I'm not an eye, so I don't belong to the body. By saying this, it cannot stop being part of the body. And if the whole body were an eye, how could it hear? And if the whole body were an ear, how could it smell? God has placed each part in the body just as he has wanted it to be. And if all parts were the same, how would there even be a body? As it is, there are many parts, but there is only one body. There's something, there's an anointing, there's a calling that you carry that nobody else can have. Because it's yours, but you've got to step out and do it. And it might just be that weakness that you've been hiding behind your whole life. Listen, we got to stop making fun of our fellow believers. We got to stop picking on each other, but rather edifying and encouraging each other. Man, I'm afraid to go evangelize. Lift your brother up and tell him, listen, you might be afraid to, but God's going to use you. Encourage him to step out. Encourage him to be that cell leader. Encourage him to be what it is that God has called him to be, because you don't know the next Benny Hinn. You don't know the next Catherine Kuhlman. You don't know the plans of God. And you have such an impact on people. Listen, I'm a biologist, and I told this in the first group, and they didn't really get it. So hopefully you guys do, because I think it's very powerful. There's this thing inside your inner ear, okay, inside your eardrum. And it's this little pool of water, this little pool of liquid. You can't see it. And judging by the looks on a couple of faces, most of you don't know that it's even in there. But there's a little pool of liquid inside your inner ear. Now, this little pool of liquid that is inside that inner ear, although it cannot be seen, intercessors. Okay, now I'm talking to a couple people. See, there's stuff that happens behind closed doors that is rewarded openly. Don't think that those prayers don't go unheard. You can't see it. A lot of people don't even know about it. That time that you were praying and you were worshiping God in your shower where nobody else was looking. Nobody knew that you had that voice. Nobody knew that you carried that anointing. They couldn't see it. They didn't know about it. But see, that little pool of liquid in your ear carries so much power to the rest of the body, because if that little liquid in your ear wasn't there, can I tell you today that you would have severe migraines, you would have severe headaches, you would be consistently dizzy, you wouldn't be able to sit up in a chair, you wouldn't be able to do anything, you would have severe vomiting, you wouldn't even be able to walk, because that keeps the equilibrium of the body going. That little seemingly insignificant thing inside your ear has such a powerful impact on the rest of the body. Don't feel like you're insignificant. Come on, guys, listen to what I'm saying to you today. Don't feel like you're not seen, because you have an impact on the rest of the body. You have a gift that can impart to the rest of the body. You have something that nobody else has. Begin to step out. Begin to use it, because you've got something inside of you that God can use that nobody else can touch. It's not insignificant. It's not important. Every single part of the body is important. Amen. Door greeters. Man, you don't understand. Door greeters. Every person that walks past you, as you shake their hand and share a little love with them, you have an opportunity as an intercessor to be able to pray and discern the spirits operating behind the individuals as they come in. You could be the difference and the change for that person, for that service, because of a door greeter. Everybody is significant. Sometimes just a handshake, the guy behind you in the supermarket, and you decide, man, I got it. Let me pay for you. It's not insignificant. I can change somebody's life for forever. Every one of us is important to the body. Is that okay? And lastly, oh my goodness, I'm way over time. Okay, your weakness, number four, will give you a ministry. The youth and the young adults, because that's who I deal with, they come to me all the time. You know, youth leader Mike, I want to know what my purpose is. I want to know what my destiny is. Listen, I'm not God. If God spoke to me, I'll be more than happy to tell you. But if he hasn't told me, you're on your own luck, kid. A lot of times, if that weakness that you've been praying to God over and over and over and over again, please, Lord, take it away. Please, Lord, I don't want to have a stutter anymore. Please, Lord, I don't want the speech impediment anymore. Father, I'm afraid to speak in public. If you keep asking over and over and over and over again and it's still there, maybe that's the weakness that he wants to use to grow your ministry so that he can be glorified, so that he can be honored. Amen? Your weakness can grow and can build the greatest ministry, because his glory is effectively shown through our weaknesses. Amen. So I just want to encourage you guys this morning with that word, that if you've got a weakness, step out. Go for it. You've got a whole body of believers behind you. You're not alone in this world, and you never will be. Amen. Amen. So let's close in prayer. Father, I just pray right now in the mighty and the precious name of your Son, Jesus. Father, that you would grant a boldness and a strength over the individuals in this house, Father. That they would begin to step out in their weaknesses, that they would begin to step out in their talents, that they would begin to just step out, that this would be a church of doing, that we would go into the highways and the byways and reach a lost and a dying world for your glory and for your honor. Father, I pray that you would bless every single person this morning. Father, we give you all the praise. We give you all the glory. We give you all the honor for every single thing that you are doing. In Jesus' mighty and precious name, Father, we love you. Holy Spirit, we love you and everything that you do for us. In Jesus' mighty and precious name, amen.
We hope you enjoyed today's teaching. For more teaching like this and other material, please visit our website at www.oceansunite.com.